For the next several weeks, we will continue to talk about growing. We all need to grow. Amen. Whether you're a new believer in Christ or you're mature and you've been serving Him for multiple years, we all have to continue to grow. Amen. Now, what does this grow mean to us? G-R-O-W. G is growing in Christ, right? That's letting our lives continue to learn His Word and pray. And then R is relating to others. We need to have good, healthy relationships. In fact, next week, I'm going to start on the R. And then outreach to our world, where you live. And our world may include the larger world, not just local, but global. And so we want to reach people. And then, of course, worshiping God. That is our full surrender to Him. And these thoughts, these ideas need to be worked into our lives so we can be more like Christ. Now, last week I talked about growing closer to God, being intentional, deciding that this is who we are in Christ, learning to stay close to the Father. But this week I want to talk to you about change your mind. Everybody say that. Look at your spouse and say, change. No, don't do that. At least not yet. No, change your mind. Something we need to do. We've got to always be growing. And to do that, we've got to change the way we think. I want to take you to Colossians 2, 6 and 7. I'm going to invite you to stand up with me this morning. I want you to read aloud. This is from the New Living Translation. But I want you to read aloud with me this scripture this morning. Everybody ready? Here we go. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Verse 7. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. This scripture says that we need to grow in Christ, get our roots deep down into Him. And then when we do that, there will be an attribute that is produced in our lives called thankfulness. We will want to praise God. We will want to give Him thanks. We will be living in appreciation of everything He's done for us. So for a moment, I want you to give God some praise and thanksgiving for what He's done in your life. Amen? Lord, we love You and thank You and praise You. You are good. Thank You for saving me and my family. Thank You for this church as we live for You. Lord, thank You that You have placed us and put us in places where we have influence. Lord, that we can declare we have been redeemed. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us today to hear Your word and change our thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So, church, we are going to grow. And that G stands for what again? Growing in Christ. Now, what does that mean to us, growing in Christ? That means healthy followers of Christ develop what? Regular habits that help them be more like Him, more like Christ. It's more than just Jesus saved me and then you go back to your old normal life. That's not growing in Christ. As a Christ follower, you begin to change your habits. You develop new practices so that you can be more like Jesus, more like Him in your daily living. And then that brings us closer to God. The key to growing in Christ, though, is the way we think. Church, there is a battlefield going on in your mind. And I can tell you, if there is any area in your life that doesn't line up with God's word, I can tell you it is directly related to what's going on up here in your thinking. You know how people say you are what you eat? I'll tell you, you are what you think. What's going on in your mind, what you think about yourself or what you perceive others think about you, All of that affects how you live because of what's going on in your mind. I shared something with you last week that I want you to hear again. In fact, I'm going to put it on the screen so you can see it with me. But people say, I want to change. But you have to understand the process it takes to have real change in your life. Here it is. You cannot change who you are until you change what you do. That's your actions. And then you cannot change what you do until you change what you feel. Those desires, those affections, until they begin to change, you can't change what you do and who you are. And you cannot change what you feel until you change what you think. Your reasoning behind what you do, what you do. And you cannot change what you think until you change what you know. The information you're putting into your mind. People say, I want to change, but it all drives back to how you think, which is determined by the information you are putting into your mind. I love what the Apostle Paul teaches us or tells us in 2 Timothy. Listen to this. He says, that is why I'm suffering as I am. He's talking to Timothy and telling him, listen, I've been in prison and all of this, and I'm suffering. But listen, yet this is no cause for shame. Why? Because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Even though Paul was suffering for what he believed, because of the knowledge of God and his trust in God, it changed the way he was thinking, which affected the way he lived, which revealed who Paul really was in Christ. He didn't let the circumstances dictate his feelings. In fact, you need to know that God's more interested in changing your mind than your circumstances. A lot of people go, oh, God, I want you to change what's going on around me. He wants to change your mind because what rules your mind rules your life. What you allow to control your thoughts will reveal itself in your actions. But if we allow God to begin to change our lives and our thinking through his word, I believe it will change who we are and what we do. Three things I want to share with you today. The first one is an observation, something you need to know. The other two are things we need to do, some things we need to take action on and put into practice. So let me start with the first thing you need to know. There is a struggle for the mind. You need to know that. There's literally a war going on for your thoughts. And that goes for every person in this room. None of us are exempt from this battle. Even the great Apostle Paul knew this. Listen to what he says in Romans 7, 22. I love God's law with all my heart. And you believe Paul did? Paul, we know, man, he made a dramatic change. I love God's law with all my heart. Verse 23. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. You hear that? This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Paul says there is a battle going on in my brain, in my thoughts. And like it or not, your mind is a battleground. That's what Paul, remember when he said, when I want to do what is right, I seem to do what's wrong. And then the things I don't really want to be doing, I struggle because my actions don't line up because of this war going on in my mind. Can anybody relate with Paul? Anybody? That probably should be all of us. Church, every action starts with a thought. Listen, every sin that I ever committed in my life can go back to what I was thinking at that time. Because it's in your mind is where temptation begins. And in your mind and in your thoughts is where every sin wants to dominate the things you do and the way you live. Pride. Anybody ever dealt with pride? Pride comes because of the way you think. It has to do with the information that you have allowed into your thought process. Anybody ever curse somebody out? Don't raise your hand. Did you know that comes from your thinking at the time when you release those words from your mouth? The attitude that you had? Lust begins in your thoughts. Hatred, fear, resentment, envy, worry, whatever else is kind of contrary to God's word, it's looking to control your mind. Sin does not mind battling to get its way. It will take on every other thought. People say, well, I don't have peace. I don't have happiness. It's because you have this unmanaged mind. And an unmanaged mind leads to mental fatigue. That's why people have tension in their life and stress and pressure and conflict and chaos. It's because they have an unmanaged mind. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension, everything that pretends to be something it's not, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. How many thoughts? Every thought. And make it obedient to Christ. When we do that, you begin to manage your thoughts. You take captive every thought and you begin to manage how you think. A managed mind will lead to peace and joy and confidence and strength in the Lord. But I need to tell you this morning. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever gets your attention gets you. How many believe, though, that the Holy Spirit can help us manage our thinking? Amen. Yes, He can. That is why we need to desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit for His guidance and His help, because He is our helper, the one who comes alongside and helps us. You see, before you accepted Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit took residence within you, your mind was enemy-held territory. How do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us that. Here's some important information from Colossians 1, 21. Once you were alienated from God. That means at one time we were not close to God. And we were enemies where? In our minds, in your minds, because of your evil behavior. But now, there's the change in our life, right? But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. Jesus did not just save you. He wanted to storm the strongholds of your mind, take authority over Satan's influence that had been there, and now God wants us to begin to manage our thoughts so we can overflow with thankfulness. Because you are growing. Listen, Satan will love your mind. Why? Because if he can dominate your mind, he can dominate your life. That's why there's a battle going on in our minds. And that's why we have to be on alert at all times. It's sad to me, though, that too many Christians do not know how to fight against the enemy. But today, I'm not going to let you leave here without the knowledge of knowing how to fight the enemy in your mind. Because listen to what the Word of God tells us. 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Church, sin may have had a stronghold on you at one time, but you need to know you have weapons that can not just tear down, but they demolish. They defeat and annihilate the things that have been bombarding your mind. Our first weapon you need to understand is the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:13, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. Amen? Believers, we are under the blood of the Lamb. We have been made clean and holy because of what Jesus did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. Another weapon you have is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us, for the word of God is active and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The word of God opens our eyes to the schemes of the enemy, as well as the things that might be in us that are not pleasing to God. And we need to use the Word of God daily. We do not need to abuse it by leaving it on a shelf. We need to use the sword of the Spirit, church, the Word of God, a weapon that we walk with and live with so our lives can bring glory to God. And then you have prayer as a weapon, the ability to call on the one who can rescue you. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Church, we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. But submitting is the first part. And submitting to God is a daily action of remembering that we are under the blood of the Lamb and that the Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God to remembrance, to daily help us and to guide us. And that reminds us that we have access to the throne of God to bring our requests to Him at any time. And when you know that God is for you and not against you. And you can trust he's fighting on your side. But church, we are in a battle. There is a struggle for the mind. A battle for your thoughts. But church, I want King Jesus to win that battle in my life. And I'm sure you do. So this first thing is observation. There is a struggle for the mind. But the next two things I want to give you are action steps. The first, you need to know what's going on. That helps your thinking when you have the right knowledge. But then you need to know what to do. The first thing you need to do is this. Number one, set your mind. You have to set your mind. You're going to have to position your mind. Listen to what Paul tells the believers at Colossae. Colossians 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Okay, hey. We're born again. You are new in your spirit. Now listen to this. You're born again, raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What is Paul trying to teach here? There is something about the way we position our thinking. We position our desires, and we have to do that on a daily basis, a moment-by-moment activity, because this is so crucial to how we live. It determines whether the enemy wins the war or we overcome him and overthrow him in our minds with the power of God's word. So this means that you have to manage your mind daily. It has to be intentional. Now, it may not be instantaneous. That's where all of us would love, man, clear out my mind and it just instantaneously happens. But the Bible says that we need to set our hearts and set our mind on the things of God. Now, to help you understand this a little better, I want to give you the definition and the translation of that word set from the Greek, so you understand this. The word means to be mentally disposed toward a certain direction. Set your heart, set your mind in a certain direction, or to exercise the mind. Paul says, since you're a believer and you've been born again, and since you've been changed, Paul says, set your hearts. Set your affections, your love on Jesus. Listen, Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But we need to get our hearts set on loving Him and staying close to Him. Then Paul says, keep setting our minds in a clear direction. Set your mind on things above. Let me illustrate it if I can with this. Now, I have a radio up here. And how many of you have a radio? You have a radio in your car? Okay. And a radio has a lot of settings. On FM, it has settings from 88 to 108 megahertz. and all these digits in between, and they're there so you can listen to music, right? And you can do it at the touch of a button. How many have your presets and all that, right? Okay, this is how you can do it, right? So I'm going to set this on country music. Right? How about the oldies? How about rock and roll? Contemporary pop? I don't know anything how to do any of that. How about love songs? I'm looking at you. Most of you know these songs, yeah. How about good old classical music? And of course, we can listen to Christian music all at the punch of a button, right? Praise will always and ever be on my lips. Church, at the touch of a button, we can select what you're going to put into your mind. But it's determined by what I set it on. The thing I set it on begins to feed my mind. You say, well, all those songs aren't bad, but be careful. What I feed my mind and I feed my heart is what I will produce. I don't know what you've been putting in your mind or your heart, but I tell you this morning, I know how to change the setting. And you do it that way. You just push the button. You got to push the button. That's how you do it. You change the channel. It's for us to grow and change our minds. We're going to have to start by taking our minds and setting them and positioning them to the right thinking. And then you can watch your life begin to grow. All because you set your heart, you set your mind, you exercise your mind to hear what you should be hearing. If you don't set your life on Christ, you will drift. Spiritually, people are drifting because they have not really set their mind on the things of God. Paul tells the Romans this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature do what? Think. Where's that happening? They think about what? Sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit do what? Think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Church, it's your call. You can choose to be led to death or you can choose to be led to life and peace. It's your call because the direction of your thoughts determines the destiny of your soul. Let me show you a biblical example of this from the Old Testament. There's a story about two family members. The first one is Abraham and his nephew Lot. Both men were called righteous. And in this story, though, we find that Lot drifts away from God and loses his direction. The Bible tells us that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. If you don't know about Sodom and Gomorrah, this is a place where sin dominated every daily activity. Here it is in Genesis 13, verse 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Every morning, Lot would walk out of his tent and just look. He had to look towards Sodom because that's how he pitched his tent. Oh, he wasn't involved. He was just looking. But where you set your direction of your thoughts will determine the destiny of your soul. Let me show you what happened next. In the very next verse, it says, after that, Lot was separated from him. He was separated from Abraham. Somewhere along the line, Lot separated himself. And then listen to chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 1. The two angels arrived. Remember the story? They're coming to destroy the city. They arrived at Sodom in the evening. And guess where Lot is? And Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw him, of course, he got up, met him, bowed down with his face to the ground. But unfortunately, Lot's look cost him a lot. He lost his wife. His girls were affected by his decisions. And you keep reading a story of Lot, and it is a mess. Because the direction of your thoughts determines the destiny of your soul. How you pitch your tent matters. I don't know if you pitched your tent in the direction of bitterness, of doubt. Maybe you pitched it toward being critical. Maybe you pitched it in some way toward wrong relationships. Church, we need to reset our minds. Change the channel. And set your mind and your heart on things above. So that's the first action, is to set your mind. The second action we need to take this morning is this. Saturate your mind. Once you've set your mind, then you need to soak yourself. You need to saturate. How do you saturate your mind? Listen to Philippians 4. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Everybody say fix. Say fix your thoughts. Make sure you set the path. Set your mind. Fix your thoughts on what? On what is true and honorable and right. And pure and lovely and admirable. And what does it say next? Catch this word. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now listen to the next verse, because there's two big words that it starts with. Ready? Keep putting. Keep putting into practice. Keep putting. You got to keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. If you want to change who you are, then you've got to change the information that is coming into your mind. God's information begins to change your thinking, which changes your feelings, which affects how you live and who you are. But you've got to keep putting that into practice. The key to controlling and managing your mind is not trying to not think bad thoughts. Have you ever done that? Oh, man, I did that again. Or that stuff, I'm going to get rid of that thinking. I'm not going to think about that. And you're thinking about it. That's not the way to get rid of bad thoughts. You have to consistently begin to pour in the right thoughts with the right information. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Let God change you from the inside out. Let God transform you into a new person by changing what? The way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Ephesians 4 says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Here's what happened to you when you got saved. There's two parts to you. When you got saved, you became a new creation in Christ. Your body looked the same, but you became a new creation in Christ. What does that mean? Your spirit was made brand new when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You were made holy before God, not because of anything you did, but because you are now covered by the blood of Christ. You are hid in Christ. Christ is your covering. In fact, God does not see you. He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how you are seen by God, because your spirit is made brand new. But there's another part of you that has stuff attached to it. It's called your soul. The Greek word in the Bible is psuche. It means psyche, the seat of your feelings, your desires, the mind, the will, the emotion. The struggle is that we're dealing with the psuche, the soul, which has all that junk attached to it from our past. The pneuma, our spirit, is made brand new. It's brand new, but people struggle with the thought, if I'm made brand new, then why am I dealing with all this stuff in my life? And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. God is saying, listen, God is responsible for saving you and making your spirit brand new. But once you accept Him, you and I now are responsible for renewing our minds, renewing our souls, our emotions. We're the ones responsible for setting the direction. We're the ones responsible for how we think. The Holy Spirit, though, you need to understand, can help manage and help change our thinking. That's why we need Him in our life, to help us change our minds. And it doesn't matter how dirty or how damaged or how deceived or how distorted they may have been, but we need to get to a place where we begin to set our minds and saturate ourselves in Him. Pastor Matt, would you come? I want to try to illustrate that this morning. We need to renew our minds. Whether you're mature in Christ or a new believer, whether you're old or new in Christ, there are a lot of people who still struggle with being free from sin, free from the junk in your life. And you're like, I know I love Him, and you've set your mind, but I don't know that everybody has saturated their minds. This glass here with water in it is going to represent your mind. This is your mind. Unfortunately, there are things that have happened in life to us that affect our thinking. I know for you, this breaks my heart, but I know some people were sexually abused as a child, and that got into their mind. Sits there as a memory. They're like, I can't ever get rid of it. Others, it's been addictions in your life, things you let kind of come in, and they sit there. You can kind of see them as they're there, and they're hanging in there. There's other people that somehow things have been done to you, and you become bitter. Others have become hateful. You're like, man, I want to get rid of that. And here's what you know. I gave my life to Christ, and He's made me new, and your spirit is new, but we're still dealing with the soulish stuff, the emotions, my mind, and what's going on. And the problem is, at some point, it all gets mixed up. And in fact, you just kind of keep dropping even other things in there. Eventually it's so muddy, I don't even know. I know I had that thought, and it's just all like, I'm just messed up. Yeah, I'm brand new, but I don't understand this. How do I get rid of this? There's all kinds of things that have filled our lives, and you start wondering, how do I get rid of the hate? How do I get rid of this? And how do I get rid of the addictions? How do I get rid of the pornography? How do I get rid of those things that plague my thinking? You're going to have to saturate yourself. So let me illustrate it. You're going to have to come to a place where you set your mind on the things of God, and you begin to think about God in your life. And you begin to let Him pour His love in again and again and again. And let Him begin to pour His forgiveness into you. And let Him begin to just pour and pour and pour and you just keep saturating yourself over and over and over again in God. You just keep letting Him pour. How long do we do this? Until He comes. I just let Him keep pouring, and guess what? He renews our minds. But sometimes I told the pastors this morning, we came in and I'm like, man, this is an important day. And it really hit me because I know about two-thirds of you, you get an hour and a half of God every week. That's it. And I'm like, is that enough saturation? I don't think so. I'm being honest with you. That's why I need you to grow. You need to get part of a small group. That's why, Sam, thank you for being here on Wednesday nights. You said, oh, I'm new. It's new to you, and I understand that. But you're growing. You're growing. And all that stuff in the past, you keep saturating, Sam. You just keep pouring it in. Gracie, I know in your thoughts somewhere along the way, how could God be good? I don't know that I can fully explain it to you, but I know that if you just keep pouring His word into you, He is faithful, He is just, He is righteous in all His ways. But if we don't set our minds, church, if we don't set our hearts on Him and Him alone, and then begin to saturate, wait upon the Lord, spend time with Him, you're going to stunt your growth. And I thought we were to be growing in Christ, being changed, being renewed, made new in Him. Get the channel right. And you say, well, all the stuff in the world is not that bad. I'll tell you, it was several years ago, almost 4 years ago, that I gave up pop. I was in college. I drank about a gallon of Coke a day and probably did so up until probably 10 years ago. And then I backed off, but I was still drinking a lot. And 4 years ago, it was on a missions trip. I just felt in my heart, I just need to make that decision so nothing would have a hold on me. And I gave it up. I'm not religious about it, but my kids, I had a tea and one of my kids had a pop, and we both sat them on the table and I didn't know which was which. And I grabbed one, and boy, I took a big sip thinking it was tea and it was Coke. And I'm telling you, it hit my taste buds and it was nasty. I used to love it because I got acquainted with it. But you begin to distance yourself from the world and you will begin to feel how nasty it is. Church, you've got to set your minds and you've got to saturate your mind. So for the closing today, we're going to saturate because I don't want to send you out of here without some saturation. Now, we saturate ourselves with the Word of God. I want to saturate in worship. Because I know when you step out there, you're going to be bombarded in your mind. I know. I know the TV's going to go on and you're going to be bombarded. I know you're going to choose and get in your car and probably hit a radio station. You're going to be bombarded. I know there's a struggle for the mind. You understand that. That's the observation. What do we do? We're going to set our minds and we're going to saturate our minds. And I hope you know what to do it with. Word, worship, prayer, God. His presence. Amen.